Turning your Bibles, if you want, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are some passages that I did speak on before just recently, but they fit to what I'm talking about today. We'll just see how much time I have left to move into this. But we're in a season, aren't we? God moves in times and timing. God moves in seasons. And I believe we're in a season right now as a nation. One of the things we did just now after the video you saw when we just spent this time repenting and moving back to God is a season that we are in. We're in a season of repentance. We're in a season of returning to God. And Wednesday night I said this. I think I said this last Sunday. I'll say it again today. We had a great weekend last weekend with the return. Powerful praying, 15 hours of praying and testimonies and things that were drawing us back to God and returning to God. But we can't rely on one weekend and say, okay, we did that, and let's move on. We're in a season. And I believe God is doing some things and working in the church as well as in this nation. So we'll see how far we get this morning. But right now, I want to show you the video, the prophetic word that was given by, I think his name is Trent Christmas. And it's a powerful word. It's about 5-minute prophetic word. So let's go ahead and play that and listen to the prophetic word.
By the authority of the Holy Ghost, we take dominion today over the powers of darkness that have ruled over our nation, and we command them to be broken in the name of Jesus. For this is the hour of the church, says the Lord, and not the hour of man. And by the end of this year, says God, the greatest outpouring that you've ever seen is going to hit the United States of America. Starting January 20th. In this year, hallelujah, God is going to begin to declare that there is a release of an unprecedented move of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen in our lifetime. Thus saith God, I'm coming after the strongholds that have ruled over this nation for decades, and I am pulling them down by the power of the Spirit of God. For the violence that you see in the land and the roaring that you hear over our nation is demon spirits that are crying out because the angels of the Lord have come to silence them for this hour. And just as the world has put a mask on the church, and just as the world has put a muzzle on the people of God, the spirit of intimidation that has risen against the church, I, the Lord thy God, now I'm going to take that spirit and I'm going to put it on the world and the heavens that have been brass, says the Lord. I'm breaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. For 4 years, saith God, from 2021 to 2024, this is the last final harvest, saith God, that is going to hit the church. No demon will be able to stop the glory of the Lord that's coming. Get ready, says the Lord, for the holiness of God is coming up in this hour. And I, the Lord thy God, will take no backseat to a man. For what I'm getting ready to do, says the Lord, will not be known by personality or name, but it will be known by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pull down strongholds over this nation. Sports will not recover, though they say they will. Theaters are going to remain empty, saith God. And the church is going to begin to fill up. And the glitter of sin that has drawn the sinner to the world is now going to be tarnished. And I'm going to cause the church, saith the Lord, to rise to her feet. There is a roar of the line of Judah, saith God. I'm going to release divine healing upon the nation. I am also coming after a generation of young people that have never been in church, never known God. I'm going to invade the homosexual community, and I'm going to set them free by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is anointing, saith the Lord, that I am releasing over this nation, just as the laws have come out of this city in the natural, saith God. So now is there a law being released out of heaven that says my church will not be silent, for though I am raising up, hallelujah, mighty men, for the spirit of Jezebel has ruled over this nation for a century, but I have raised up an Elijah anointing, saith God, that's going to break the spirit of Jezebel, and there's going to be peace in the land. There's going to be silence amongst the liberals, saith the Lord, and I'm going to put a roar in the mouth of my people, even to the age of young 5 and 6 year olds. The glory of God is getting ready to come down upon this nation. Give a shout, saith the Lord, for I have not forgotten thee. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. In 1906, William Seymour said this: there is another revival coming about 100 years, and if the bloodline is going to cross the color line. Hear God today. This is not about color. This is not about culture. This is about the church. And God said, the church is my body. So today, I release healing into you. I release a spirit of boldness upon you. Yet gum against the spirit, rise up, saith God. Whatever you bind, I bind. Whatever you loose, I loose. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a liberty, saith the Lord, I'm releasing over this land, and it is a harvest of souls. Your churches are going to fill up. Your children are going to praise the Lord. Your bodies are going to be healed, because I declare it, saith God, and it shall be done, saith God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you, by listening to that, are glad you're a part of the church in this hour? How many of you ready to see these things take place? Hallelujah. That was a word. That does not mean that trouble will not come. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that God is going to invade. And that's what we want to come into agreement with, that God is going to move by the power of His Spirit, and we're going to get caught up into it. Just caught up. Whether you like it or not, you're going to get caught up. How many of you ever got caught up into something that you weren't expecting? Okay? That's the way it is. Okay? It's like a tornado coming through. Of course, we don't know that because we don't have them here. But a tornado just sucks things in. A tornado just looks around as it's going, saying, I think I'll take that car. I think I'll take that house. And it just sucks it in. And I pray God does that to each one of us by His Spirit, that we get caught up in what He is about to unleash. Now, how many of you want that? How many of you are believing for it? All right, look at your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. You needed to hear that 3 times. The first 2 times, you probably tried to reject it. The 3rd time, stuck. But we need to be ready. Because God, I believe, is going to do it. That's why we're praying. That's why we're believing. That's why we're still having our convocation on October 31st. We're having our Return 2020 convocation on the 31st, 2 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. At Eastern Arizona College Football Stadium. It's in your bulletin. The registration form is in your bulletin. If you haven't registered, we want you to register and get in. EAC is asking us to register, so we're putting that out for you. And we're just believing that we're coming together to continue in this season that we're in. We're continuing this season of repentance and returning to God, okay? And I believe God is hearing us, and I believe it's setting the stage for something incredible. I believe it's setting the stage for something incredible. Now, you know, we'll take a look at the scripture here in a minute, 2 Timothy. But listen, folks, we need to be aware of the times we're living in. We just need to be aware. Okay, we need to be focused, not to be scared and not to scare others. So don't be going out there and saying, oh, let me tell you these things. All these things are going to happen. Aren't you scared now? No, we're not here to scare people. And the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal things to us to scare us. We're not to be in fear, okay? Christians ought not to live in fear. The end times are going to be perilous times. That's what verse 1 says. In the last days, perilous times will come. They will come. And we know that. We've talked about this. But here's the thing, folks. Headlines ought not to influence us. Headlines ought not to be the influencers of our lives. Who ought to be the one to influence you? God, His Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Word of God. These are the elements, the ones that ought to be influencing our lives. We're to be influenced and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Anybody under the influence right now? Come on, anybody under the influence right now? You cannot be under the influence and people not know it. You think about that. You cannot be under the influence of something and others not know it. So if you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost, we'll know it. If you're under the influence of something else, guess what? We'll know that too. So make sure you're under the influence of the right one, okay? Headlines ought not to influence in our faith. Yes, we're to be aware of what's going on. I'm not saying, not being aware. Don't worry about what's going on. I'm not saying don't ignore what's happening. Yes, we're to be aware. We're to live as wise individuals. And so I'm not saying not to be aware of what's going on, but don't, listen, folks, don't replace the red lines with the headlines. Can I just say that? How many of you have a red letter Bible like me? Those words in red, written, spoken by our Savior. Don't replace the red lines by the headlines. And so many times people are doing that today. They read the headlines, and the headlines they think are nullifying the red lines. What Jesus said He meant, what Jesus said, it's done, it's finished, it's established forever. And we can hold to that. We cannot let those headlines influence. Let me tell you some things about headlines, okay? When headlines influence God's people, God's work stops. When headlines begin to influence God's people more than God's word, then we begin to stop. We stop doing what God would have us do. Let me give you an example. If Nehemiah had just read the headlines of the conditions that were currently in Jerusalem in his day, the people, the walls, the gates, if he would have just read the headlines, he never would have moved into what God wanted him to do, and you and I would never know who Nehemiah was. The reason we know who Nehemiah is and the reason we can read an entire book with his name is because he didn't let the headlines influence him. He knew that God was greater. He knew that God was stronger. He knew that in all that mess, God could still intervene. How many believe God can still intervene in this nation? Don't let the headlines discourage you. Don't let the headlines tell you God is done. It's not done till God says it's done. What were the headlines in Nehemiah's day? Well, it could have been this: distress, destruction, discouragement in Jerusalem. That's what the word was that came back to him. Distress, destruction, discouragement in Jerusalem. He would have remained, if he had allowed this headline to influence him, he would have remained content to be the cupbearer to a foreign king. He would have just been content to live in a foreign nation, in a foreign kingdom, in a foreign palace, serving as a cupbearer to a foreign king. He would have died in obscurity. And let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ today that are still living in obscurity because they're letting the headlines dictate their spiritual conduct. Got to get back to the Word. In Ezra 3, when the remnant had returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, they were going to rebuild the temple. They were sent back. In fact, it was the king that said, God has put it in my heart to build him a house. And so they released the people that wanted to go. They got back to Jerusalem. The temple foundation was laid. The people began to shout with a great shout. And it was just the foundation, folks. I mean, they were excited about seeing the foundation again. How many of you ever had a house built? You have that house built and you go and the foundation's been poured. How many of you got excited? How many of you got scared? The first house my wife and I ever had, first time we got out of apartment living and we had a house built, we went and looked at it and we saw the foundation. And we thought, what did we do? Now, it's kind of scary when you go into that first time home ownership, But it says here that when they laid the foundation, there was such an excitement that there was shouting and praising. And yet on the other side, there were the older generation that remembered the former foundation, that remembered the former temple. There were those that remembered the former days, and they wept. And the Bible says that there was so much shouting and so much weeping that you couldn't discern the difference, that it all mingled in into a noise that was being raised up to God because the foundation had been laid. It was an exciting time. But then opposition rose up against them. And so in Ezra, it says in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 4, it says, then the people of the land, listen to this, the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. Aren't they trying to discourage the church today? Isn't the world and politics and politicians trying to discourage the church, trying to muzzle the church, trying to tell the church you still can't meet, you still can't gather together? Oh, you can gather together, now you just can't sing. You can't worship your God. Be silent, church. Amen. Somebody say no way. There, that's a good word. They tried to discourage the people of Judah, but listen to what it says. It says they troubled them in building. Don't think that building the kingdom is going to be hassle-free. Don't think that there's not going to be any opposition. It says they troubled them in building, and listen to this, they hired counselors against them, and you got to catch this, folks, to frustrate their purpose. To frustrate their purpose. People are trying to frustrate the purpose of the church, the purpose for which we are here. And they're even paid to do it. They're politicians that are paid and getting wealthy so that they can discourage the church and try to discourage us and frustrate our purpose. Don't let anybody frustrate your purpose. You can't allow that, folks. It says they frustrated their purpose. It says all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. You see, their purpose was to rebuild the house of God. Their purpose was specifically ordained by God to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the house. And yet these people were hired to frustrate their purpose. They read the headlines, folks. Here's the problem. They read the headlines much like the subtitle in my Bible. The subtitle in my Bible says this about this particular situation. It says, rebuilding of Jerusalem opposed. And so the headlines in the Chronicle newspaper of that day simply said, rebuilding of Jerusalem opposed. And the children of Israel, the remnant, read the headlines. And the Bible says they stopped building. And they stopped building for about 15 years because they read the headlines. Folks, we got to get away from reading the headlines and believing the headlines. In fact, they stopped building until Haggai the prophet was sent to them and said, how long? How long are you going to live in your paneled houses when my house lies desolate? How long are you going to be building bigger houses, fancier homes? How long are you going to put in all the fancy panelings and everything you want to make your house look gorgeous and beautiful while my house lies in desolate conditions? We cannot allow the house of God to be less than what our own homes are. Can I just say that? We can't allow the house of God, we can't allow the church to be in a dilapidated condition while we live in luxury, while we live in satisfaction, while we build and buy the latest. There, I said it. Listen, folks. Reading the headlines can frustrate your purpose. And don't get all caught up in the physical and miss the spiritual. Don't get all caught up and allow the natural to hinder or prevent the supernatural from manifesting. Don't lower your expectations with God. Here's the reality, folks. The natural is the reason for the supernatural to be released. If you think times are bad now, and they are, and you see all the mess that's going on, that is the reason why the supernatural needs to manifest in our day. That's the reason why we need revival. That's why we need a Holy Ghost outpouring. That's why we need an awakening. That's why we need a fresh move of the Spirit of God. That's why we need healing. That's why we need deliverance. That's why we need salvation. That's why we need all these things, because things are a mess. And it's not enough for us to say things are a mess and leave it at that. We say, no, that's a mess. But thank God he's going to come and he's going to move in our lives and he's going to change it. That's who our God is, folks. That's who our God is. Listen, folks, here's another thing. Trends don't influence the Word of God. Trends have never influenced the Word of God. They never have. God is not surprised with any morning headline. Did you know that? God does not wake up in the morning because he never sleeps, but he doesn't get up in the morning, so to speak, and read the headlines and say, I wonder what's going on today. Headlines have never bothered him. They do not influence him. Listen, folks, the Word of God ought to set and maintain the trends, the Word of God. This ought to be trend-setting. Don't look for the latest fashion and say, I want to be a trendsetter. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, and California came out with a brand new pair of shoes for men. And my older brother and I just happened to go to California and do some fruit picking with an uncle that was a foreman for a big company that they picked fruit. They said, you want a job? Come and pick fruit. Let me tell you, that's not fun. But we went out there and picked fruit, and one day we went over into another city, and we went shopping at the mall, and we found these shoes. It was big in California because they hadn't gotten out of California yet, and they were these shoes that had heels about that big for men. And, of course, I didn't need any more heights because I'm already tall, right? But my brother and I saw those things, and we thought, man, those are cool, and everybody was wearing them in California, so we bought them. We went back to our little tiny school in Morenci, Arizona. We went to Morenci High School, and everybody's like, where did you get those shoes? Can I tell you, within 3 months, they started showing up. That's trendsetting. This is what needs to be the trendsetter. This is what needs to set the trends. The Word of God ought to set and maintain trends. And listen, folks, it will when God's people rise up with the Word of God and become, listen to me, significant enough of an influence to rewrite the headlines. I was going to show you a book, and I left it in my office. But if you were here last weekend, there was a book on revival back there, a revival that took place. I want to say it was Indiana. But it was 30 years of revivals. 30 years, Portland, Oregon. It was Portland, Oregon. It was 30 years of revival. And you look at that, and page after page after page has newspaper clippings, newspaper headlines of what God was doing, and another revival is breaking out, and a healing took place over here, and the headlines were in the newspapers. They were the trendsetters. For 30 years, God was moving, and they had to look at it, and they had to report on it. I can't wait for the Holy Spirit of God to move in this valley to where our courier has to report it, because it's such big news. How about the rest of you? Do you want to see that? That's the way it ought to be, folks. You ought to look at that. It page after page of these articles about revival and awakening, folks. I'm telling you, when we get significant enough, filled up enough with the Holy Ghost, we will help write and rewrite the headlines. Let me put it this way. They won't be headlines. They'll be Godlines. We're not looking to establish headlines, although that's what they are in the newspapers, but in reality, they are Godlines. This is what God is doing. How many of you want to see some of those Godlines? That's what I want to see, folks. Some Godlines. We need to get away from psychological preaching and sermonizing. Let's get away from psychological preaching and sermonizing. Yes, get over your past. Look at your neighbor and say, get over it. Look at him again and say, no, really, get over it. You couldn't ignore the second one. Okay? Yes, be set free from the things that still bind you. We're not saying not to be. But listen, folks, the church needs to get beyond these never-ending make-you-feel-better sermons. We need to get over them. Those aren't going to help you. If we just make you feel better, you can walk outside that door and get out on the highway, somebody cuts you off, and now you feel different. Where's the blessing now? Well, I was just feeling better a moment ago, but now they cut me off, and now I'm mad. I'm ticked. Can I tell you this in this way and take me, you know, the way I mean it? God doesn't care about your feelings. I said it and I'm in it. Does he want you to be blessed? Yes. We know his word wants us to be blessed. He wants us to walk in alignment with him so he's free to move in power and glory in our lives. But listen, it's about him. It's not about us. It's always been about him and it's never been about us. And if you think God is up in heaven just finding out another and new way on how to make you happy, you better think again. They're going to take me off, aren't they? Folks, feelings don't last, but truth does. Truth does. 2 Timothy 3, we won't take time, but you can read the first five verses, folks. Those are today's headlines. If you look at the list there in 2 Timothy chapter, well, let's just take a look at it. Okay, verse 2, I read verse 1, and last days perilous times will come. We're living in perilous times. We are living in the last days. So verse 2 says, for men will be. Okay, now for all you women who are saying, yeah, it's always the men. That's not what it means. Okay, it means man or mankind. So you're included in this. Okay. For man will be what? They'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. Those are today's headlines. That's what's happening in our world today. And everyone who's willing to admit it would admit all these things are working in our culture right now. And that's what we're seeing, okay? What is wrong with America, folks, is not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's obvious to anyone who knows the truth of God's word. The perilous times or the peril of perilous times will come because men love themselves. Because man loves himself. Herself, because we are in love with ourselves more than we are in love with God. And that's the bottom line of what's really going on. It's talking about men and women, male and female. It's talking about humanity. Humanity in general will be lovers of themselves. And all the evil, folks, that's manifesting in our culture is due to loving ourselves and wanting to please ourselves. It boils down to rejecting God. Can I tell you it's not global warming that's destroying our culture? Can I tell you that it's moral cooling? It's not global warming that's going to kill us. It's a cooling down of a morality. It's the cooling down of the Word of God. It's getting away from the Word of God and cooling down to spiritual things. That's what's going to mess us up even more. And we are in a severe moral cooling trend, folks. Relativism has overtaken absolutes, and opinions are overriding truth. Now, let me move on, try to close up. I'm only on page 4 of 10. You know, usually I ask, how many of you have 5 more minutes, and I have you raise your hand, then I just count all the hands, and I got plenty of time. Here's the good news, folks. Here's the good news. If all these things listed in 2 Timothy 3 are last days evils, then the solution to all these things is a last days revival. If this is last days evil, end time evil that we are reading about, then a revival in the last days is what God wants to send to offset all the things that the world is experiencing right now. We need a church set on fire by the Holy Spirit. We need a church holy, sanctified, set apart from the world. So the world, listen, folks, why do we need to be set apart from the world? It's so that the world can see that there's an option. It's so that the world can see, hey, I don't have to live this way. Somebody's living a different way, and it seems to work for them. But if you're one of those Christians that's just living like the world, they look at you and they say, well, what's the difference? Why do I need to be a Christian if you're sinning just like me? Why do you say I need to be a Christian if I go to the bar and I see you there? At least some of you are smiling. Can we just be honest? Can we just be honest? The world needs to see that there is a difference in us. Otherwise, why would they want it? I believe revival is coming. I believe revival is the cure for America. If you want to look for a cure, look for revival, a moral awakening. Because, folks, it's not politics that's killing America, although politics are a vehicle through which America is being killed. It's a vehicle, okay? But it's not politics, it's killing America. It's not global warming, and it's not even the coronavirus. Sin and evil are killing America. Sin and evil are killing America. If politics were what is killing America, then electing new politicians would be the cure, and how has that worked out? How has that worked out? Electing people with moral standards should definitely be a top priority for us as believers. Definitely be a top priority. Vote. Vote. But choose who and what will fall most in alignment with God's word. But listen, folks, beyond politics, we're dealing with sin and evil. And revival is the cure. Revival in the church, revival in the pulpits, revival in the pews, revival that spills out of the pulpits and spills out of the pews and spills into the streets, into the homes, into the businesses, and into the halls of government and even the benches on courts all the way up to the Supreme Court. That is what's going to change, and that's what's needed in our America today. A revival that absolutely flows out of the church, out of the body of Christ, and into a world that desperately needs Jesus. God is able to save the lost. You heard it in that prophetic word. You heard it in the prophetic word. It got me excited because this is what I was talking about. God is able to save the lost. He's able to save the homosexual. He's able to save the bisexual. He's able to save the woman who just had an abortion. He's able to save the drug addict and the gang member and the drug dealer, the politician, the judge, and the sinner. He's able to save. Revival is what's needed. And that's what we need to focus on right now is revival, folks. The problem is mankind. The problem is mankind. Let me try to finish up. I'm trying to find a place to stop. You know how that is, huh? I'm just going to go on. We don't stop returning and repenting just because we had that weekend, like I said. I believe God is using Jonathan Cahn. I believe he's a voice that God has brought up for such a time as this and for a strategic time as this. And we need to listen to that voice. I believe God has also raised up Dutch Sheets. He's been in this for over 25 years, calling the nation back to its foundation, its spiritual roots. He's been doing this, folks, and it'll be done through the church, not through our political system. But we have to take advantage of the season we're in or we'll miss it. We can miss it. That's what happened. Jesus spoke in Matthew 23, verses 37 and 38. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but the condemnation was this, the judgment, but you were not willing." I pray that God is not looking at a church and watching the church responding to him saying, "We are not willing." I pray that's not the case. I pray that there are enough people in the body of Christ to say, "God, whatever it takes for revival, let's have it. Let's do it." Because time does run out. It's time we, the church, verbally, vocally, intentionally say, "Devil, you cannot have Safford." It's time we intentionally, verbally, vocally say, "You cannot have Thatcher, you cannot have Pima, you cannot have Solomon, you cannot have Sanchez, you cannot have Artesia, you cannot have any of this area, you cannot have the Gila Valley, you cannot have Graham County. Devil, you cannot have it." Let me give you a real tough question. Does anyone here believe that there's still hope for California? Is God still alive? Is California still there? Then there's hope, right? You see, a lot of times in our own frustrations and reading the headlines, we would rather write it off than fight for its redemption. We would rather write it up. God, judge that state. Don't judge my state, but God, would you judge that state? Have mercy on Arizona, but would you judge California? No, we have a tendency to just write people and things off. Listen, there's a lot of lost souls in California that need Jesus. And if you don't think California is on God's radar, just remember Azusa Street came out of California. And so did the Jesus movement of the late 60s and 70s. They came out of California. In fact, in California, I shared this with you a couple weeks ago, but all up the coast were hundreds and even thousands of prayer point centers, people going to these places of prayer all up and down the coast. It was filled with prayer at one time. There is hope, but don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't you think, folks, if we got serious about being revived, that the Holy Spirit would revive us? We got serious. Don't you think God would hear us? Don't you think if we return to God that He'll return to us? Don't you think, folks, that if we get thirsty enough and if we get hungry enough, don't you think that if we get thirsty and hungry enough for His presence that He would satisfy our hunger and our thirst? Didn't He promise to do that? You see, the problem is not in heaven. The problem is here on earth. The delay is our fault, not God's. It's always been our fault. Let me give you this illustration in closing. I was listening to Mario Murillo. That guy's something else. You know, he tells it like it is. He's an evangelist and a revivalist. And he was invited, this has been a while back, but he was invited to what he called a super spiritual conference on territorial demons and revival. Would you come and speak to us? We're having a conference on territorial demons and revival, and we need your voice. And so, you know, he's an evangelist, he's a revivalist. He was invited, so he went. And he listened to all these, you know, excerpts. He listened to all these people talking, and they had their boards, and they had their charts, and they had their graphs, and they had all these. They were showing about all the demon spirits and all the territorial demons and all that stuff. And then they said, hey, we want you to get up there now. Go ahead and speak. He gets up there, and he told them, it wasn't necessary to know all the demon spirits controlling the city. He said, what are you guys doing? I mean, he was one of the speakers at the conference telling him, what are you guys doing? Why do you think you need to know about all the demon spirits and all that other spirits? You better believe there is. He said, what was necessary was not knowing all the demon spirits. What was necessary was knowing the name that is above all names. He said, all you need to know is the name that is above every name, and the demons will flee. So why are you spending a whole conference talking about demons and demon spirits and territorial spirits when all you need to do is get up and say in Jesus' name? Boom. I like that. Boom. How do you have a 5-minute conference? You come in, you invoke the name of Jesus. We say, thank you for being here. We say, God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, we're done. What better conference can you have? What better conference? In the name of Jesus. Are you sick? In the name of Jesus. Do you need provision? In the name of Jesus. Do you need to be forgiven? In the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, it's the name of Jesus. He said, stop doing all this stuff. I don't know if he was ever invited back or not. He just basically told him, you need Jesus. Listen, folks, if you know the name above all names, then all other names must and will submit to that name. If you know the name that's above all names. How many of you know the name that's above every name? If you name that name that's above every name, then every other name has got to submit. No matter what that demon is called. How many of you want to see miracles? Then see Jesus. Don't look for miracles. See Jesus. You see, that's where we've gotten off, folks. We've looked for miracles for miracle's sake. We hear that there's a miracle healing conference, so we go to the miracle healing conference because we want to see miracles and healing. Now just see Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, see Jesus. Do you want to see prodigals come home? Then see Jesus. See Jesus about it. Now here's one caveat on prodigals come home. Make sure they come to a home that's filled with Jesus or they'll just leave again. Don't pray and ask Jesus to bring your prodigal home if your house isn't in the right way. Because he'll just come into the mess that he or she left. Get your house in order, get your house right, and then say, God, we're ready, bring them home. And watch God do a work. Well, I'll quit. We're in a season. We're in a season. It's all about Jesus. Would you bow your heads real quickly? I appreciate you giving me the extra time. I was going to take it anyway, but I appreciate it. But seriously, folks, how's your relationship with Jesus? How is your relationship with him? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And I know you hear me say this all the time, and I see your faces here all the time, but I will never stop asking. Because only you and God know. Only you and God know. Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you're a child of God? Have you truly repented of your sins? And I mean truly repented of your sins. Have you truly confessed them before God? And by faith, you trusted Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. If there's anyone here right now that you're just not sure if that's ever been a reality in your life, but you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need to know that today. I need to know this Jesus. I need to know Jesus today. I need to know my sins are forgiven. Is there anyone here? My prayer is you know Christ as your Savior. Don't put it off if you have any question, if there's any question. How many of you want to be a part of the end time revival? Do you want to help rewrite the headlines? Do you want to replace the headlines with Godlines? If that's you, stand with me, please. We will be dismissed. And by the way, after we're dismissed, if any of you need prayer for anything, you're welcome to come, and we will stay as long as we need to pray with you. We will pray, we will believe, and trust God together. So don't be afraid to come up if you still need prayer after we're done. But Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you, Father, for hearing us today. Father, we were so sincere, Father, concerning our prayers of repentance for the sins of abortion. Father, we thank you that you're merciful. We thank you, Father, that in the midst of all the chaos of this world, you're about ready to unleash revival. We received that prophetic word, Father, that you gave your servant, that we heard this morning, Father. We believe that there is a mighty revival that's about to break on the scenes. Just like a wave that builds up out in the ocean and comes crashing into shore. Father, we believe that wave is on its way. And as it reaches the shallows, Father, it will build and build and build until it crashes in. And so, Father, we're praying for a mighty revival. We're praying for a mighty awakening. And we want to be a part of it, God. We want to be a part of what you are about to unleash. So, Father, we surrender and submit ourselves to you. We ask, God, that you would have your way in our hearts and lives, that, God, we would be prepared for the days ahead, that we will not be ignorant concerning the times and seasons we're living in, that we would be aware, Father, that in times, yes, perilous times will come and perilous times are here. But out of that peril, Father, is going to come the revival and awakening. And we give you thanks for that. God, I pray you bless every single individual here today. I thank you, Father, for them being here. I thank you, Father, for their patience and being able to sit under the word. And I pray, God, you touch every one of our hearts, God, myself included, that, God, we draw closer to you in every way possible. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Give the Lord some praise right now. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.